World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, Michelle and I begin year number 47 of marriage. We had a great time yesterday. Our grandchildren, created a little candlelight dinner last night for Michelle and I. We didn't know it was going to happen up at Sky High. It's really cool. And golly, 46 years. I'm not here pounding my chest over 46 years. I'm here pounding my chest over where the heck did 46 years go? Where did it go? Where does it go? You know, the Bible says it's like a wink of an eye. Boom. It's here. Life is but a vapor, the Bible says. It's here and then it's gone. And I want to encourage you this morning. I got a thousand different directions. Again, Michelle says, you say the same thing every day. I do. I'm sorry. But again, repetition is the heart of education. It's the heart of teaching. Repetition. Over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Repetition. Until we begin to connect the dots and see and understand exactly what it is that's going on. So when you come to Coach Dave Live, I try to spice it up a little bit. But it is repetition. It is the same thing over and over and over again. And I was reminded as we come into this time of Thanksgiving, how much we really all have to be thankful for. But really, what some of you guys are walking through. I mean, it's horrific, isn't it? Really. And sometimes you just say, Lord, Lord, my enemies are against me. My friends are turning into my enemies. And, you know, you're being hit about 12 different directions, and some of you are losing spouses, and some of you are losing relationships. It sucks, man. It sucks. It's a cold, cruel world. I'm not here to be a doom and gloomer here today. I'm here to try to encourage you. Encourage you. And even though Michelle says we say the same thing over and over again, it's just, again, it's repetition. 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 I want to show you something I think is really, really kind of important here today. Two things. Now listen, this is Romans chapter, I think it's chapter 5. Spencer, just pull that up there real quick. Romans 5. I'm doing this from memory, folks. I'm doing this from memory. Scroll down a minute, Spencer, so I can get a good look at it when you get it up there. Because keep going. Yeah, okay, there we are. Cool, okay. I don't know who this is for. It's for all of us. I think I'm looking at faces here on the screen. I think of what Paul Gosselin's been through. And probably for the most part, I don't know Paul that well. I don't follow him around. I would say probably walked through a lot of it by himself, or maybe one person with him, or maybe two people, but for the most part, he's alone walking through the stuff that he's going through. And I could go down. I see my sister-in-law, Susie's in here. She's lost her husband. How do you pick up your life and go after you lose your husband? Then we got people who've lost children or lost broken relationships. You don't even know why the relationship's broken. It's just broken. Relationships with children, relationships with people who used to be your friends. It's just boom, boom. And Michelle said the other day, don't take this wrong. Michelle said the other day, let's call somebody and go out to eat. And I said, don't take this wrong. I said, honey, who the hell would we call? we made more enemies just by speaking the truth. I know there's people I could call, right? But we've made more enemies just by speaking the truth. And that's kind of where we are at the time of what you're in, and that's kind of where I want to focus here today. And are we bearing one another's burdens? Do we really? Do we really? One of the things that does encourage me about this, whatever we call this thing, the queue, this show, this, whatever it is, I know that some of you have developed some pretty solid relationships with people that you can call and people you can encourage and encourage one another. And I get all the time, man, all the time. Stuff comes across my desk. That sounds like I'm important, but what people are walking through. But I want to. This just came to me as I started this morning because I didn't really know what I was going to talk about here. This is Romans chapter 5. Either believe it or you don't. Either believe it or you don't. All right. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Hang on a minute. Maybe you don't have peace with your kids. Maybe you don't have peace with your neighbor. Maybe you don't have peace with your boss. Maybe you don't have peace with your spouse. But you have peace with God. Peace with God. At the end of this whole thing, of all this mess that we call life, at the end of this whole thing, when you're going to stand before the Lord, it's going to be peace. You ain't going to be a raging maniac trying to get vengeance on you. We have peace. We already have it. By whom also we have access by faith. We have access by faith into his grace, into this grace where we stand. And we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Look, folks. Christianity ain't for the weak. Sorry. Christianity ain't for the weak. It takes a warrior spirit to walk the Christian walk. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So evidently, there's a battle between you and whatever's in the world. If you have Christ, ain't no guarantee that you ain't going to go through hard times. It's just a guarantee that you're going through it. And it's a guarantee that goodness and mercy is going to follow you. And it may not be because the goodness and mercy may not feel good to you, but it's going to be good for somebody else. You're going to plow a row, baby. You're going to plow a row. Hey, Paul, you're going to plow a row. And at the end of this whole ordeal that you've gone through, there's going to be a clearing for somebody else coming. That's what it's about. That's the gospel, folks. That's the gospel. Gospel ain't about you and me. Greater love is no man than this, the Bible says, and he would lay down his life for his friends. And that Jesus took a whipping and a beating for us. And sometimes we have to do that for our fellow man. And I got to stop right there because I'm going to tell you something. Hey, you better quit being jealous of the blessings of God on other people's lives. You better stop it. You better stop it. You better stop it. Being jealous of the blessings of God on other people's lives. But not only so, we glory in tribulation. What? We glory in tribulation. Knowing the tribulation worketh patience. Just think about that. Think of the patience you had to learn while you're waiting for some mess in your life to work its way out. Yep. And patience gives you experience, and experience gives you hope. Meaning what? You made it through the last thing. You're going to make it through this one too. Huh? Yeah, that's what experience teaches you. Yeah, it sucks. Yes, it does. Betrayal of friends, daggone it sucks. Children, wayward children, it sucks. Yes, it does. It does. But the work of patience, and experience, and hope. I don't know when. There are people in our life, and Michelle and I. By the way, I tried to get Michelle to come down here today and do a co-show. Do you think she should do that, Betty? Should Michelle come down here some morning and sit here and let you guys hear from her?
Boom.
Huh?
Boom.
Because how many, really, truly now, really, truly, how many of you, I could start naming some of the family issues you guys have around you, wayward children, fighting with your cousin, fighting with your uncle, these people don't talk to you anymore, yada. You know what I'm talking, right? That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what all of us are dealing with. Nobody likes to be hated. Nobody likes to be have a cold shoulder turned towards them. Nobody does. Nobody does. And hope doesn't make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, isn't that great? In due time, just didn't happen randomly, but in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. What? Christ died for the ungodly. By the way, that's all of us, wasn't it? We're all ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man, will one die. If you thought about it right now, in your life, how many people could you rattle off right now in your life that you would die for? That's a small net, isn't it? That's a small net, really. For scarcely will a righteous man, will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were still bums, he died for us. Anybody out there want to confess that you were a bum or still are a bum sometimes? Huh? You need grace, you need mercy. By the way, that same grace and mercy that you need, we're supposed to offer to others. Oh, this is deep. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You wait till your daddy gets home. You think there's wrath in the courtroom. You wait till with that great white throne judgment and the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodly. That's what it says. One of these scriptures where the wrath of God is revealed. Maybe you could Google that, somebody, for me. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. So it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Do you ever think that you're an enemy of God? Do you look at yourself that way? You see people that are walking up and down the streets, and the message we give is, God loves you, brother. Jesus loves you. No, he don't, folks. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. His love's available. But when you tell a wicked person that God loves them, you're lying to him. He does not love them in that wicked state. For the wrath of God is revealed. Thank you, Spencer. I'll send you $5. From heaven, the wrath of God. Do you ever think about that? The wrath of God from heaven? The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Can anybody out there real quickly explain that to me? What is holding the truth in unrighteousness? What the hell is that? Holding the truth in unrighteousness. I know this. He's pissed off about it. He's pissed off about it, that we're holding the truth in unrighteousness. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were just in this sinful condition we find ourselves in, Christ died for us. Much more than Tim Tuber, I don't know if Tim's listening, being now justified by his blood. See, you're justified before you're saved. And justified means when you go to the checkout counter at the store and the clerk or the machine now, I guess, at Kroger's, runs up your bill, and then you pay the bill, you get a receipt because you're justified. Your bill is taken care of. Your credit is balanced. So not much more than our credit is balanced by his blood. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. You sin, somebody's got to die. It's a law, the law of sin and death. The soul that sins, it dies. You sin, somebody has to die. It's a law. So it's justified. So Christ, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. When he died on the cross, he paid the tab. He justified the account. Not only so, how about this? We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Scroll down, if you would, Spence. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I could go on and on and on. Scroll down just a second, Spencer. Okay, you can read the rest. You can read the rest. We live in a fallen world. And we don't understand this. Remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. Well, there's truth in that, isn't it? Really, there really is truth in that. And I'm going to, it's funny where the Lord's got me going here. Pull up for me real quickly. Two things I want you. This little boy says little boy on pain. Now, this is AI generated. Would you tell me, hey, are y'all looking at me right now? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through, but you're going through. And we just read in Romans 5, thank God for it. Thank God for all the problems and trials you have, for they develop patience. Patience develops character. Character develops hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. Right? Thank God. When's the last time he said, thank you, Lord? It's like when I was coaching football and I made those guys run those sprints. When they thought their tongue was dragging the ground, they couldn't run one more. Didn't think they could run one more sprint. And on Friday night, they won the game in the fourth quarter because I drove them to the very edge of what they thought they could do. At the end of the game, when the game was on the line, they had the strength and stamina to press through it. Whether we want to realize it or not, that's our Christian walk. They can tell you all they want to at their jellyfish churches about how Jesus can't wait to bless you and all that stuff. The reality of that ain't true in most of our lives, is it? I mean, it really isn't. It really isn't. And we get a real problem when we go to God and we're constantly asking God to bless us. Constantly asking him to bless us. Oh, gimme, 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 gimme. That's modern evangelicalism. Instead of realizing what wretches we are. What a wretch I am. Huh? What's that song, Amazing Grace? How sweet the sound that save a wretch like me. You a wretch? Were you guys ever? I was a wretch. Man, then I got born again, married that sweet little wife of mine. Grace came. Grace. So this, admit it, you all wretches. And some of you have a tendency to be a wretch already. And if Betty Perkins wins the lottery tomorrow and wins $10 million, I ain't going to be jealous of her. I'm going to cheer for her, pat her on the back. If David Arthur gets elected governor of Maine, I'm not going to talk about all of his past sins. I'm going to rejoice with him for the redemption of Christ. But we don't do that, do we? We get jealous. We get jealous of the blessings of God upon other people. It's sad. Really, I'm sorry. I'm all over the place. But once you know this, I'm feeling it deeply. Because our family, let me back up a second. Our family at Sky High, some of you know what Sky High is, they gave us a candlelight anniversary dinner last night. My grandkids, they all had a little aprons, and one brought out the lasagna, and one brought out the salad, and one brought out the water, and one brought out the wine. Yeah, believe it or not, wine. And to sit there with that beautiful wife that I have and look at the real blessing of God upon our lives is really humbling. Really humbling. And to know every day that we have an adversary It's doing everything it can to sow disunity and disharmony. Just even in the scripture, it says there's 85 of us in the queue right now. I can name 85 that aren't here. Why aren't they here? They got butt hurt. Said something they didn't agree with. Maybe I criticized the Jews. Who knows? And they break fellowship. And we better realize this. That when hell breaks loose, people in this queue are going to be the ones you're going to turn to. Huh? I'm telling you. This is where your help's going to come from, these folks right here. So I came across these two things because life, as when I was in college, some guy told me, he says, you know, life's a bitch and then you die. And that's pretty much it, isn't it? Life can be a bitch and then you die. That's not what it's supposed to be. It's not. So this is a AI created little thing. He ain't through with it yet. Go ahead and play it.
When God wants to make a man powerful, he don't crown him first, he breaks him. First, he strips away your comfort, your pride, your plans, till all that's left is what's real. That ain't punishment, that's training. See, pain don't come to destroy you, it comes to stretch what's weak inside you. So you can carry the weight of your destiny, every bad day, every betrayal, every heartbreak. That's God molding you piece by piece. And you don't grow in comfort. You grow in chaos. The pressure that's breaking you now, that's the same pressure that'll make you unstoppable. So when you're down on your knees thinking it's over, it ain't the end. It's the rebuild. Most people quit when it hurts. But the chosen ones, they walk through the fire till their purpose starts glowing. Every tear, every trial, every sleepless night is proof that God ain't done yet. When God...
Amen, huh? Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I want to encourage every one of you out there, every one of you out there right now, look, like I've said several times about the Lion King. When the little Simba comes down, I don't can't remember the names. He looks down in the water and sees his daddy, the reflection, down in the water. And he says, his father says to him, you are so much more than you've become. That's every one of you guys, every one of us. We are so much more than we've become. What's holding you back? Circumstances, trials, tribulations. Romans 5 says, thank God for him. They develop character and strength and move through it, man. Move through it. The devil wants you sitting home sucking on your thumb. That's what he wants you to do. Sitting home with a heating pad on your back. That's what he wants you to do. And if you're in this show, in this huddle for any length of time, I'm going to tell you something. There's an anointing on you. There's an anointing on you. And you're just going to have to dig down and just start using it. Quit listening to the lies that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you don't, stop it, man. Stop. Every day in Christ is a new day. Repent of what you did wrong yesterday and move forward today. You missed the tackle yesterday, well, get the interception today. Move forward. Don't be burdened and chained by what you used to be. Because there's plenty of people going to remind you of that. They're going to remind you of it. And they're jealous. I'll show another one. God, I can't believe I've gone this long. I didn't have any idea what I was going to talk about. So I'm going to ask Michelle. Pull up Charlie Kirk. Because, folks, listen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You understand that? We wrestle not. It's funny how they worded that, right? What they're saying is, we don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against the things that are making the people do what they do. What causes your son to reject you? I don't know, but it ain't him. What causes your best friend to not want to go hang around you anymore? I don't know, It ain't you. It's principalities and powers, evil spirits, and high place. We don't even believe in this stuff in the church anymore. Hey, folks, Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And ask yourself, how often do you go to bed pissed at somebody? Because something happens when you sleep on your anger. I don't know what it is, but it's something. Because the Lord said, don't do that. Don't you dare let that, don't you dare. Before you go to bed and say your nightly prayers, dude, you better make it right with that whoever you're mad at. You say, well, I can't make it right with them. Well, you can give them over to the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive them, will you? As hard as it is, Lord, I don't want to carry this burden of resentment with me everywhere. I don't want that, Lord. I don't want it. I give it to you, and I don't know why they're acting the way they're acting. But I don't want it impacting me. Charlie Kirk, listen, I'm not doing this to glorify Charlie Kirk. I just saw this morning and I thought this is really, really good. Then I'm going to shut up and open it up, although I got more to share. Go ahead.
To watch this.
The spiritual battle is coming to the West, and the enemies are wokeism or Marxism combining with Islamism to go after what we call the American way of life. And the American way of life is very simple. I want to be able to get married, buy a home, have kids, allow them to ride their bike till the sun goes down, send them to a good school, have a low crime neighborhood, not to have my kid be taught the lesbian, gay, transgender garbage in their school. While also not having them have to hear the Muslim call to prayer five times a day. That's important. We want the American way of life, which is, by the way, Christendom. Christians, our sacrifice, our toil, our vision, the outgrowth of the scriptures gave us Western civilization. And this is where I think is a great rallying cry. Doesn't matter if you're Hispanic, doesn't matter if you're Asian, doesn't matter if you're black or white. Everybody, if you are Christian and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, these two threats are combining forces to come after us. And it's time that the church stands and rises up against it.
Boom, huh? That's it, man. That's it. Oh, boy. Let's see here. Somebody trying to get in here with their hand up. I'm going to open it up. Come on, jump all in here. My screen looks a bit different today. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. That scripture you read about the truth held in unrighteousness, that's really what we're struggling with today. That's what grieves us, right? We know the truth, but no one is held accountable.
Right.
That goes for ourselves. You said there's 85 people in here, but 85 people aren't. If the truth they hold in unrighteousness, if they have a grievance against you and they fail to bring it to you, that's the truth held in unrighteousness. They should come to you. If you got something against your brother, take it to him, right?
Amen.
Or if you don't, but that's the truth held in unrighteousness.
David, so casting down imaginations. You, in your mind, you think they did this and believed this and said this. That's an imagination. You got to cast it down. Go ahead.
Yeah. So really, if you stop and think about it, those are the things. When you have a loved one, they have something against you, but they won't come and tell you. You know, that's the truth held in unrighteousness, right?
Yeah.
And it goes, we experience it so often. If you go to Kroger's and you go through the self-checkout, Coach, and it rings all your groceries up and it charges you a penny. But you know you got $100 worth of groceries. So if you don't say something to someone, the truth is you knew you had $100 of the grocery. You paid a penny, walked out the store. That's truth held in unrighteousness.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Huh? Oh, my God. Come on now, folks. Most of us don't think anything about lying, do we? How many times a day do you suppose you say something that's not true? And most times, it's because you don't want to offend somebody. The truth's offensive, right? The truth is offensive. So we have
Coach.
To. Yeah.
Yeah, also that truth and unrighteousness stuff, this is the way I see it. It's like even a broken clock is right twice a day. And it's, Paul said, prove all things, prove your ministry. And it's people that, you know, it's like they flip a coin, they make a decision. Well, is this true or is it false? You, they flip a coin and they decide, well, I'm going to believe it's true because the coin says it, not because they understand the right reasonings that led to the fact that that's the truth, but because of some other thing. And in mathematical proof, sometimes the errors cancel one another. They didn't prove it right. They got to the right conclusion, but through the wrong means, you know, and that's what it means to me. Thank you.
Okay, so here's what we need, folks. I'll get you. I can be right with you. Folks, we need accountability with grace. We need accountability with grace. And the only way you can get that is to call somebody. Say, listen, this is bothered. Don't take it the wrong way. This is bothering me. Maybe you can help me, explain to me, yada, yada, yada. And you don't want to do that because you're going to hear the other side of the story, and you don't really want to hear the other side of the story. And only by doing and hearing the other side of the story can there be reconciliation, the only way, right? And I, again, Michelle always gets on me. I don't focus on the people who come and go here at Coach. I don't, but I do wonder why they left. Why would you leave this? We can come in here and meet friends who really, really care for you. Really, they don't think, some of you just casually know each other, but what could be so offensive that you'd break fellowship over with? Maybe somebody hit on my wife. Yeah, I might break fellowship over that. But you're going to break fellowship over something the Bible says or doesn't say? You're going to break fellowship over that? Dudes, I don't get it. Eileen, come on in.
Good morning, Coach. I just wanted to talk about families and brokenness. When I'm one of eight kids, we were all about 1 year apart. Mm-hmm. And when my parents always said, my mother particularly, that everybody will get an equal share, whether they deserve it or not, whether they need it or not, period. Then after they passed away, my sister, who was the trustee, called me on the phone and said, I don't want you to get mad. I go, and that always, I go, yeah, what did you do? She's my younger sister, about 5 years. And I said, what did you do? And she said, I didn't do anything. Mom and Dad changed the trust. To be split nine ways. I go, nine? Oh, no, don't tell me. Dad had some kind of child, had a child out there, you know, out of wedlock, had an affair. You know, you hear the stories. And right. She said, no, it's for her son because she's a single mother. And so they wanted to make sure he was provided for. I said, but there's three other grandchildren. So you can't alienate them. Well, make a long story short, we did not speak for 10 years.
Wow.
And my brother, who had the other three children, him and I decided, he's the oldest boy, I was the oldest girl. We decided, you know, maybe to get an attorney. We did get an attorney, see if we could resolve this. It would be very simple. You know, do what's right. But she just dug her heels and said, no, I need it. I need it. So. 10 years goes by, very heartbreaking for me, for, I guess, just anyway. And then in 2021, both of my older brothers died of COVID, died of the shot 6 months apart. They both got the shot, both died. And then guess what? My sister and I, we reconciled.
Wow.
And somebody said, what were the magic words? Did you ever confront her? Tell us everything. How did it go? I go, two dead brothers. That'll fix everything. That'll make you realize how short life is. That it doesn't, nothing matters. You know what, the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And now, most importantly, we are closer than ever.
Praise the Lord.
And now she can't do enough for me through generosity, through everything. She can't do enough because I guess, as God says, I will bless you tenfold if you do what I ask you to do. And sometimes that's to keep your mouth shut.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, Spencer, pull up if you could real quickly. Seven deadly sins.
Coach, this is JR. While you're waiting for that.
Yeah.
One of the best ways for God to show his love for us is through family, friends, and associates. Don't hold back that love that God wants you to give for those individuals. Amen. Support them.
Yeah, and seven deadly sins, JR, is what are they? And they all have to do with you. They all have to do with you. That's why they're deadly sins. Pride, greed, lust, envy. They all have to do with your own heart. Gluttony, wrath, sloth. Right? And so if there's a problem in your family, chances are it's you. Because you ought to know better. You ought to know better. How, why is it so hard for all of us, really, really, to say those words? I'm sorry, I was wrong. Why is that so hard? Even if you don't think you were. Start a conversation. I think about my brother, Dan, who died, golly, a year and a half ago now. We were good. No problem with my brother. Nope. You know, I should have been over his house every week. That's my brother. Whatever our differences might be, I should have been spending more time with my brother. My brother Bill lives down there. I never see Bill. I don't know. I'm going to wait for him to die and show up at his funeral and cry. Is that it? I'm going to hold some resentment. I don't have any resentment. Really, no resentment in our family that I know of. But, boy, I don't want to tell my wife there was jealousy and resentment on her side. Not from her so much. And why do we care? Why do we carry this stuff when it is so meaningless? You could have a barrel full of money and freaking have a heart attack tomorrow. Stop it already. And then when you have that barrel full of money and have a heart attack tomorrow, then all your kids fight over who gets what. And I'll come back to those seven deadly sins. Come on in, Craig. This is like a therapy session. That's kind of where the Lord's leading that. So go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I don't think we operate in the Holy Spirit like we should. And right. I remember when I met Alan Zeifer at Sheridan Circle in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't ask people if they're Christians. I ask them if they have the Holy Spirit in them. And I was like, I never heard that before. And I just remembered it and I chewed on it. And I thought, you know, really when you think about it, you know, salvation isn't necessarily the Holy Spirit. Salvation is the blood of Christ.
That's right.
And Jesus said I had to leave, you know, to get the Holy Spirit. And then it was, you know, during Pentecost where the Holy Spirit refining fire, right?
Fell.
And I think, you know, just in my own life, I grab things, you know, I move things, I do things in my gifts, I do things out of whatever, anger, hurt. I mean, most of us operate out of hurt.
Yes, we do.
That's how we do it. That and you know, the people that have addiction problems and you know, some people close to me that have addiction problems and they're steered by hurt and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to operate. And I listen to Eileen's story and what I hear is the Holy Spirit had room to operate in that situation and her prayers got answered. You know, of course it was the death of her brothers, you know, but God, you know, says, you know, all things are good for those who love the Lord, you Amen. Know, and that's a testament to what Eileen's testimony is, you know, the losing her brother certainly wasn't good, but her love for the Lord restored that relationship because of her walk with the Lord. And I think we just have a big lesson to learn about operating the Holy Spirit, knowing when to speak, knowing when to shut up, knowing when to just you know, tell someone they mean something to you.
How about forgiving? How about that? How about if we would just learn to forgive? Spencer, I'm putting something in the chat right now. I want you to capture this and then play it if you could. What's causing our resentment, huh? What's causing our resentment? Let me get Randy in here before you play it. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I can see where you're heading. And that's it could be one of those sins, Coach, you know, those seven sins, but there's a remedy for that. And I like what Craig said. I want to build on what he said for just a minute, Coach. The Holy Spirit, Paul taught this. He told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, he said, don't quench the Holy Spirit. The word quench there means to extinguish him. It means to put out the fire that's in you. Right. Okay. And then he told the Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, he said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit that's in you. Okay. Yeah. The word grieve there in the Greek, Coach, it means to distress him, to distress.
Because he's a person, Randy, because he's a person.
Acts right, Coach. It's just like if Jesus was standing right next to you and you did something very sinful, and then you got to look him in the eye and he's kind of shaking his head going, yeah. Oh, I wish you wouldn't do that. It's just so unedifying. That's so hurtful. Why are you doing that? Okay, let's get to the why, Coach. That's where you're heading. It's the lack of the Holy Spirit. It's what Craig's saying. But why did Paul and the apostles tell us, hey, y'all, be filled with the Spirit? Be filled. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a state of us Christians that we're not filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And we're probably unthankful, and we're probably bitter, and we're probably jealous. And all those sins of the flesh are there because the Holy Spirit would push them out. So, Coach, the whole remedy, I know, Coach, when I get hard-hearted, what I need to do is pray. I need to get on my face, and I need to cry out to God for him to soften my heart and to deal with my hardness and my unthankfulness.
The problem is always me, Randy. The problem is always me.
It is. So, right. Coach, we shouldn't focus on, well, how do I pretty up my physical? How do I look better out here? And how do I, you know, just feel better or whatever? Look, get your heart right. Get your heart right with God. And then these other things will happen. Mm-hmm. So we dodge everything but do it taking care of our own hard-heartedness, Coach.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Play this, folks, because ultimately, whether it's your husband or your son or your daughter or your neighbor or your cousin or your coworker or your boss, whoever it is, if we walked in the Spirit of Christ, aren't you glad Jesus doesn't hold a grudge? Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't walk in those seven deadly sins? I love this part. This is so true of life. Go ahead and play it.
My life may not be roses, but still I'm gonna be all right. Long as I got my Savior by my side. He freed me from the heavy chains that had bound my broken heart. Picked me up, gave me a brand new start. Now I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven, I'm on my way to heaven, so I can't be staying long. I was serving time in prison in a solitary cell. Sentenced by a judge and jury of myself. And it blessed me for forgave me, touch me with his love, shine down all his glory from above. Now I'm on my way to heaven, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm on my way to heaven, so I can't be staying long.
I want to make things right. You and me, we've got can't forgive everybody else. Why can't he forgive me?
And he walks with me every day.
Why you like to fix things, why you make something out of nothing all the time. They got a word for that. What's that word?
It's redemption.
Redemption. Yeah.
My dad was a monster. And I saw God transform him from a man that I hated into the man I wanted to become.
And he will walk with you every day. The shepherd's lamp will guide you every step along the way. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you like to come along? Come along, come along, friend. Amen.
Ultimately, that's what it's about, isn't it? Isn't that what it's about? The ability to forgive or not forgive. Christ forgive you, and you hold a grudge. And you say, well, I'll make up on it. They just say they're sorry. Really? So, you know, we look around at all of us, and we lose sight of the fact that we have an adversary. And the adversary's goal is to destroy relationships. Divide and conquer. Oldest trick in the book. Stop taking the bait. Craig, come on in.
Well, Holy Spirit just told me to anoint our family table and invite them before people come.
At Thanksgiving, right? At Thanksgiving.
To anoint our table.
Not grudge giving. Thanksgiving.
Right. And ask him to be a part of the conversation and invite him into the, you know, before everybody comes. And do some spiritual warfare before then to break down the barriers, or just be a part of that conversation to bring it uplifting and, you know, godly conversation.
Well, Craig, we know this. We know this, that everybody that you, not Craig, but all of us, every one of us who have a problem with somebody is because we were offended. They offended us. They did something, said something, whatever, that offended us. And we would say, well, if you would just apologize. It's deeper than that, isn't it? It's deeper than that. And so, How long are you gonna carry that grudge on your on? How long are you gonna carry that unforgiveness on your shoulder, man? poisons a lot. I don't know how I got here today, but here we are. Here we are. Anybody? Hardest Coach, thing to do sometimes is forgive.
Coach, can I?
Yeah.
I usually have a big crowd at my house. I think 25 this year. But what I do, Coach, I ask God to show me the people hurting. And I just, you just walk around, you see everybody talking and having fellowship and eating and all that. And by the way, that prayer, when you give the prayer, when you say grace there on that day, do it. If it's in your home, you do it. And you pray over those people. Coach, that everybody, a lot of times on the Thanksgiving day when we have it here, a lot of people, they're sniffling and they're shedding tears because of what I pray.
Yeah.
So this is an opportunity, Coach, for us to touch them with the love of God and with truth too. But Coach, what I was going to say there in the beginning was let this Holy Spirit minister through you to different ones. When you see someone, the door opens and you get a moment, just go speak into them. Just go speak into them. So don't make this about you having, you know, laughing and goofing around. That's good. But look, ask God to show you who's hurting and go to them and touch
man,
them.
Who's hurting, man? Who's
it's
hurting?
Your opportunity. This is such a great opportunity.
Paul Gosling put in the chat from C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. Pride leads to every other vice. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. Is that truth? Is that the truth or not? Huh? He hurt my feelings. I was offended. He didn't do this. Huh? Right? At the heart of it's pride. Right. So what do they say? Swallow your pride. Swallow your pride. And I want you to know this. In my family, my extended family, we're going to have a bunch of people here too. In my extended family, a bunch of people have a grudge against me because they don't understand Christianity. Meaning what? Folks, if you're walking with the Lord, the presence of the Lord is all over you and it's convicting. And they assume you think things that you don't even think. And so they don't want to be around you.
Amen.
Because they sense that you are judgmental when it isn't your judgmental attitude, but the presence of the Holy Spirit in you that convicts them. They assume what you're thinking. They assume what you believe. And so therefore, they don't even come around. We have I could yell, Michelle, how many people are coming here this weekend? Because we have a large extended family. A lot of them will be here. And some of my nieces and nephews, they'd rather not come be around Uncle Dave. Not because of anything I said, but for what they think I think, right? Belinda, come on in. Belinda, get your hand up, sweetie. Got to unmute. My screen's all screwed up here. Somebody come on in. I'm lost here. Where am I? Let me click on this thing here. Let me get out of that. How do I get out of that? Let's go here. All right, now I'm back there. I'm sort of back. All right. Somebody. Pastor Payne. Come on in, Pastor Payne.
Tom. Hey, brother. And again, happy anniversary.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, I think of forgiveness and just the thing God reminds me of is Matthew 24, of hearts will grow hardened. Yeah. And, you know, when somebody has an offense, really, what did David say? You know, to you I've sinned and you alone. And when somebody sins, they sin unto the Lord. And just like with you in what you're saying, and I have that situation a little bit myself with, you know.
Yeah.
But not, it's just the thing of where the letting go of the forgiveness is actually, when you do that, it's to forgive others. You release yourself of that.
Amen. Offense. Amen. There's a so, change, man. Unforgiveness or change, brother.
Yeah, because if you're looking for people to ask for forgiveness before you forgive, then you're in bondage just as much or probably twice than them, because Jesus said, forgive others as you would have the Father forgive you. And if you don't forgive others, you're not going to be forgiven before the Father. And he gave the parable. Remember the man that had like 10 cents that he owed? And, you know, it was a lot large amount, but then somebody came out and only owed him like 10 cents. Then he choked him and threw him in jail but the people, not the king, but the people around him saw that. And I think with you, Coach, and really the thing about Christianity and the way we minister is when we are ourselves, the way God's created us, and we don't try to be someone else or walk in somebody else's lane and truly embrace. And it's like Adam and Eve before the fall, they were naked and unashamed. It is what it is. Here they are in sweet, perfect relationship with Christ. They walk before the Lord, but they receive the lie that there's more.
Amen.
And that's where it all came in, the division and the divide. And that's what, you know, Satan loves to do. That's what our flesh loves to do, because the flesh is for itself.
Divide and
so that forgiveness, you know, I'm in a few, there's, you know, I'm preaching to myself right now or speaking. It's those little, I call them like little snot ball thoughts or whatever. You may have forgiven somebody. And what God's reminded me over the years is somebody has done an offense, or maybe it's a perceived, maybe they didn't even offend you. You were just being a jack, you know, wagon, and you thought they offended you, right? I've done this so many times, and others probably towards us.
Yeah.
But you forgive them, and we become real super Christian, and we go, okay, Lord, I forgive them, and move on, because now we take a superior attitude instead of empathy. When we have pity, we place ourselves above, but when we have empathy, we look at people not greater, but like, oh, you know what, man, I mean, I've not done that, but buddy, without Jesus, I was capable of much more than that. And the way you know if it is or not is if we started just allowing the Holy Spirit to start bringing up names for everybody listening, that one name,
yeah,
where all of a sudden you tense up a little bit, go, well, I forgave them, but every time you hear their name, and especially if they're blessed, it rubs you the wrong way, or you're just like, oh, that son of a good, oh, God bless him, God bless him. That's where you know, and that's where God's, what does he say? And I'll leave it with this, a little leaven leavens a whole lump.
Amen.
So,
amen.
God bless you, Coach.
Johnny, come on in.
Hey, good morning, you guys. You know, you guys are all getting me thinking about some of the ways we can dismiss the tension and the unforgiveness is being compliant with oneself. And one particular topic is one thing I'm learning to do, and I'm guilty of it, and I'm sure everybody else is, but that is doing what you say you're going to do. If somebody asks you for something, as hard as it is to say no and you can't do it, just you gotta try and be honest and say, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah, amen.
You know, instead of saying you can, because I've gotten into trouble saying that I'll do and then I don't do it. And it chips away at who you are. It chips away at your character, your integrity.
Amen.
And it's not a good thing. So we need to really stop and think about when somebody asks you for something, take your time and think about it before you answer.
That's your ABA. That's right, brother.
And be quick to listen and slow to
speak.
Or slow to speak, yeah, because I know it's gotten me in trouble. So I just wanted to say that.
Amen, amen, amen. Thankful heart, man. It is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, right? Not grudge giving, not grudge holding. I know it's hard, man. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. So we won't be here tomorrow, but we'll be here Friday. Have a great... What? Oh, Michelle's yelling at me. I got my days mixed up. I'll be here tomorrow. I won't be here on Thursday. But tomorrow's my birthday. I'll be here tomorrow for my birthday. See you tomorrow.